The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Oh, go figure. Look at that.
It's the Financial Guys radio program.
Well, what the heck is that?
It's Glenn Wiggle.
Oh, my gosh.
And Mike Lomas.
Oh, would you look at that? Look at that. Look at that.
To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930. Toll free 1-800-616-WBEN and cell calls are free at *930. Now, live from the WBEN studios, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, live on News Radio 930 WBEN, and it is Small Business Saturday. We're going to talk a little bit about small businesses, some of the numbers from Thanksgiving, a big online cell phone or whatever you would call it, smartphone device, another big jump, I think up 30-something percent. We'll talk about that. If you are out and about listening, you know, I hope that you're out shopping at our local small businesses. They certainly deserve your support.
Yep. The ones that are left here in New York.
Yeah, those few, those two down the street there, you know. But but there's a lot of great small businesses.
If you're listening online from Florida, Texas, you know, the places where a lot of folks have relocated to, you know, make sure you call in. But, yeah, the shame of it is there'll be more and more leaving New York.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Now that we have a Democrat controlled everything in this state.
Oh yeah.
Not that it mattered because we were making decisions with 3 men in a room anyways, but
right, true.
But, you know, if you can add stupidity on top of stupidity, right?
Yep.
You get New York.
Yeah, exactly. We talked last week about the Amazon deal.
That cake bakes really well, and it supports moving companies and moving companies.
That's right. Yeah, we talked about the corporate welfare. You know, obviously, Democrats believe that lowering taxes attract business, so they wouldn't be giving away free money. We just happen to believe that it's fairer if you just lower taxes for everybody and stop picking winners and losers because the financial guys could use a lower tax rate, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure the small business down the street gives a lower tax rate. Why does Amazon get the tax break?
Every day I wake up and I'm shocked that we don't get a call from a Cuomo or a Polenkar saying, you guys have been here for 20 years.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Started out with nothing, grew your company. I really want to give you a little piece of that Buffalo Billion.
Right.
Still haven't received the call.
Never going to get that call. In fact, not only do we not get that call, we get the insulted by people like Mark Polenkars that are afraid to come on and debate us. But nevertheless, I mean, you know, it's when you look at New York State and obviously you look at the giveaways that they give away, obviously the Democrats believe that lower taxes are the key to attracting business, or they wouldn't have the incentives that they offer.
It's the key to attracting campaign contributions.
Oh, the businesses that they like.
Yes.
I see.
The one that gives the folks that give them money. It's the key to campaign contributions.
I guess so.
It is the key, by the way. It is the key to becoming a billionaire. And the Obamas are on their way, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
On their way
to
be a billionaire name brand. And they have found capitalism. They have embraced it.
Amazing, right? It's amazing how that works.
They have embraced it, and they've done it exceptionally well. Exceptionally well.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll talk about some of the small businesses. We had Grand Island Sales and Service, John Simon, on our TV show this morning.
Awesome,
on Channel 7.
Yep. He was awesome, you know, because he owns a trucking company, you know, hazardous waste and, you know, transporting gas.
Yeah,
and,
not waste, but hazardous material.
Hazardous material, right. But the numbers he was throwing out, the difference between doing business here as opposed to Pennsylvania right down the street, you know, $8,000-$11,000 per truck right off the bat before you spend a dollar anywhere. And, you know, most of these firms that are trucking companies, they don't have one truck. They have 10 trucks, right? So now you're talking $100,000+ difference right off the bat before you open up, before you put your plaque on the wall, before your mailbox says XYZ Trucking. If you've got 10 trucks, you're already $100,000+ behind.
Here's the numbers that he gave me. He has 25 trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So the 25 trucks, the plates alone in New York State are almost $1,000 per truck.
Right. The plates. Just the plates.
Because
it costs that much, by the way, for the prisoners in Attica to make them. Right.
So $991 for plates, $870 for permitting of one unit, $550 for federal highway use tax, and $410 for the border, federal.
Yeah. Now, the worst part about it, by the way, is, and he said this, the worst part about it is, if every penny of that was going into the infrastructure of the roads,
right,
maybe you could say, well, look, it's less wear and tear in your trucks.
But it's
the
all
fact
diverted.
Of the matter is, we've got the worst roads in the country.
That's right.
We have the worst. So once again, and by the way, these scumbag liberals.
They divert the money.
They scumbag liberals. They hide the tax increases this way, right? It's exactly what they do. Andrew Cuomo, well, I'm not going to increase your taxes. I'm proud to say that I've only increased them 2% a year since I've been in office, where everybody else was at 4 or 5. Yeah, Andrew, yeah, in one sense you did, but I think, you know, you're probably not that great at math, because folks like this trucking company, their costs are up considerably, right? But you didn't have the stones to come out and say, we're going to increase taxes again. So what do? You go, oh, we didn't hit up this trucking company. Well, let's get them for $1,000 a plate.
Yep.
Let's get them for registration fees. Let's get them for a highway tax. Da-dot, 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 da-dot. And by the way, the average Joe will have no idea. And then when they lay off people, we'll blame it on the company. We'll blame it on the business owner.
Right.
Not the actual real problem, which is the cost of doing business in the state.
So in New York State, it's for state taxes and things that he has to pay $11,633
per truck.
Federal is almost $9,000. Mm. So $20,000 between the two
before it drives off. Before
no, it even
no leaves fuel
the dock.
In it. No fuel in it before it leaves the dock.
Yeah. So
$20,000.
That is like I think out of state he said it was about $8,000 less. So
it's criminal. It's good.
So $12,000 in New York.
The mob was
$3,000 somewhere else.
The mob was more fair.
Honest to God. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, they took a much smaller cut, right?
They did, no question about it. All right, if you want to join us here, if you want to mention your favorite small business, I'd love to, you know, plug a couple. I have no problem doing that. 803-0930, *930, of course, is a free call to sell, 1-800-616-9236.
We haven't heard from business owner Angry John in a while. If you want to
busy.
Your business.
It's been a great, year for him. So he's been busy, making widgets.
By the way, I'm pretty impressed with some of these liberals that disguise themselves as conservatives. They're like, well, I own a business, but.
Sure you do.
You don't need to lie, by the way. You can just come on and disagree with us. We're okay with that.
Exactly.
We'll talk through it. So. By the way, retail sales, as you said, up 28% from last year.
Yes.
Online retail sales, $6.22 billion in online sales for Black Friday.
Yeah.
And don't tell anybody, but we just had 2 years of record-breaking global cooling.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can believe that. But I mean, Thanksgiving was brutal.
Don't pass it on.
Don't
pass it on because this will be the final nail in the coffin. For Al Gore's book.
But here's what they're talking about now. This is what's insane. After 2 years of record cooling. After the coldest Thanksgiving on record.
1817, I think, or
something
like that.
Something ridiculous, right? Now, here's what the Wizards of Smart are talking about. They're talking about a Yale professor and a CNN thing. A Yale professor and a Harvard professor have gotten together, and they've decided that the plan of action should be cooling the sun, to shade the sun in an effort to cool the earth. I don't know if that's arrogance or if that's ignorance or a whole lot of both. But you can't make this stuff up. This is what they're seriously talking about.
Here's what I think, professors. I think you should take a plane there first and just test it out. Let me know how it works out. What are you going to build? Put a big cloth over it or what?
I don't know. But I can tell you that you have to be insane to think that that's a good idea.
Unreal. My favorite part, by the way, is somebody should have told these professors that the lie switched. It's climate change.
Oh, yeah.
Not global
that's
warming.
Right.
It's climate change.
It's just unbelievable.
And by the way, send all your donations to the Democratic Party.
Right, exactly.
Every $50,000 matters.
I'm not sure if you saw this one, Mike, and we'll talk about this in the next segment. Britain's opposition Labour Party plots overthrow of capitalism. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
That's good for us. If we can keep a brain in our head,
it's
a global market. We'll compete with that any day.
I don't understand what these folks don't understand. I don't get what they're looking at to say, yes, government run anything is better than the private sector.
Yeah. Well, outside when you have prisoners running the prison, I mean, ultimately that's what ends up happening, right? I mean, when you see the destruction, Democrats have run every inner city into the ground, and you would say to yourself year after year, how in the world could people in the city of Buffalo support Mayor Brown, right? Mayor Brown's probably a nice guy. I don't know Mayor Brown. He's probably a nice guy. But the school system's a miserable failure, right? Been there forever, Democrat-controlled, Masiello, and now Brown. At some point, if I'm a parent there, I'm going to say, maybe we should change. But they don't. They double down, double down.
But even worse, you look at the past 100 years of history.
Yes.
Not just Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
100 years of world history.
Yes.
Where are the places where they've tried communism / socialism? Where are the places where the government took over the forms of production?
Where are the places?
And how have they done?
And where are the places that are the cleanest for you environmental left-wing nutjobs?
Right. They've
where
all collapsed.
Where are the cleanest places, right? And by the way, I love trees. I plant more trees than any liberal probably listening on this. I love trees, right? The fact of the matter, it costs money to plant trees, right? Money is not evil. It's not evil.
But these same people that are out there supporting socialism, you know, they're tweeting, you know, capitalism is terrible. We need more socialism. They're tweeting on their via Twitter.
on their Apple iPhone. Yeah, with their Nike sneakers.
Sipping their Starbucks latte while they're shopping on Black Friday.
Their Vineyard Vine shirt.
Right? Seriously.
Not that I don't wear Vineyard Vine.
So this guy, this is Britain, by the way, but Britain's Labour Party would-be finance minister John McDonnell has a message for the world. He's deadly serious about overthrowing capitalism and building
that.
A socialist society.
Let us know how that works out.
That's insanity to me.
Give us a few minutes, though, because we still need to make a wall. We still need to build a wall. We still need to advance our technology.
Thank God this is UK, right?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, well, no.
But we got it here. We got the socialists here. We got Ocasio-Cortez. We got Bernie Sanders. McDowell, 67, who describes Karl Marx as one of his main influences, has been at the vanguard of left-wing revival in Britain's main opposition party under fellow socialist Jeremy Corbyn. He has promised sweeping nationalism, higher public spending, and an overhaul of the banking system, meaning taking
over.
Right?
Well, look at Glenn. Here's the problem. And we've gone through this ability. It just hasn't been done right.
It's been tried, failed.
It just has not been done right.
Exactly what they would say. Yeah. If we just had more money and more time, we would get it right. What a joke. All right, we're going to take a very short break. We'll take your calls and questions when we come back. We'll read some texts.
Definitely want to talk about the border.
Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it. These judges, by the way, out of control, right? Yeah. You can't stop who's coming in.
Yes, we can.
I mean, it's insanity. So we'll talk about the border. we'll talk about the budget a little bit, too, and some of the recent market volatility. Obviously, it's been extraordinarily volatile. Another really brutal week in the market, Thanksgiving week here.
Are we up against the time clock here? Are we okay?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so let me just mention this. You know, we talk a lot about this place where politics meets money. We have a lot of fun with the show. Look, when volatility hits, I want you to do me a favor. Make sure you have a plan that proactively rebalances. I cannot tell you how many financial planners are still working on systems from 1982 that do not take advantage of volatility.
Yep.
And you know, an easy way to do that, especially in your IRA accounts, is to have a system that rebalances. Don't try to time the market. I don't believe anybody can do that. But what you can do is take advantage of volatility by simply rebalancing your portfolio, and you should be diversified enough to take advantage of this. If your planner is not doing that, use our team as a resource, 633-1515, and set up a complimentary consultation.
You know, just to add to that, Mike, we have the fortunate opportunity to have a lot of people come to our office, right? We probably have 50 or so new people coming in a month. So we have the opportunity to see a lot of other people's statements, right, coming from different places. And I got to tell you, I reviewed one this morning for a potential prospect that will be a client. You know, a couple $100,000 spread across a whopping two funds.
Right.
Two funds.
That's not diversification.
Even if you wanted to rebalance, it would do you no good.
Yeah.
You have one fund in an IRA and one fund in a TOD. That's it.
And let me tell you something. Somebody said
that's negligent.
That you just nailed something, by the way, that is so important. You said, we get to see a lot of people. And Mike Hayflick in our office stresses this all the time. He says, you know, I am really good at Social Security. And I, you know, I say, well, it's probably because you're really smart or, you know, pretty handsome, like you know, you and
both
I,
true.
Right?
Yep. So both true.
And he goes, no, I know all that's true. But really the number one thing is I get to see a lot of people.
Yeah.
Every scenario has been thrown at me, right? And we've got chartered financial analysts at our office, certified financial planners, registered investment advisors. It's been thrown at us. We know what we're looking at. User team is a resource, 633-1515. And before the break, Medicare made easy. We do have independent Medicare reps
almost
in our
out
office,
of time.
And you are almost out of time to double check your plan. So 633-1515 for a free consultation.
Yeah, just about 7 or so days left there, maybe 10 days. I think it ends December 7th. So if you need to get in, make an appointment now, 633-1515. All right, very short break. You want to join us here, 803-0930 on Star 930. We've got the financial guys on a Thanksgiving week here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Alrighty, welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. If you want to join us here, you've got the financial guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, 803-0930, 803-0930. Star 930 is a free call and a sell, 1-800-616-9236. If you see anything crazy while you're out there, if you saw anything crazy yesterday on Black Friday, please let us know. I would love to hear the story. 803-0930.
Nothing puts you into the holiday spirit like somebody getting trampled at a
Walmart. A good Walmart fist fight is always a great, you know, a bunch of those online. Yeah,
nothing says happy holidays by getting knocked out in a Target. Nothing. That's
because those flat screen TVs are just, you just, it's worth
it. They'll never go on sale again.
No, never. Ever. You know, and it's
you'll never be able to find it online for 20% off.
Right.
Ever.
Never. Especially not after Christmas, right?
No,
or right before the Super Bowl. No.
No.
No, but it's worth going to jail for. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
That so, beanie baby,
beanie baby.
You knock her out for it. That's you do whatever you got to do to get that beanie baby in your cart. That's just what you got to do. It's
whatever
nothing
it
says I love you, I embrace you, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, like a good beating in the Target parking lot. Nothing.
That's
nothing.
Right. Exactly.
Nothing.
Amazing. I don't know. I would think at some point that, I mean, I guess it's the sport of it. I guess it's the going out and getting the deals, but. I mean, clearly more and more people are going online. I mean, you look at the numbers, people are saying,
not to sound like a broker. I'm telling you, Glenn, and I have been saying this for 5 years now. The retail shops are losing. Number one, it is more it's more convenient to just order it, right, from your boxers. I get that, right? The other thing is retail stores are extremely mismanaged.
Yeah.
Very mismanaged. I go into a Walmart. I'm going to call out Walmart. There's 17 people up front making some kind of executive business decision, and I cannot get out.
They're deciding what they're going to have for lunch that
day. I can't get out. I'm like, you know what? Why don't you just take a break for a second and open up a register?
Right.
I managed a retail store when I was 16 years old. 16 years old, I managed a retail store. I was a manager of the store, and I knew at 16 that once people got in line, once they got there and they were ready to check out, they wanted to get out. They didn't want to sit there for 4 hours, right? That's a miserable experience.
No doubt.
A good experience is, hey, I'm going to hop on this register. I'm going to get you out of here. Did you find everything? Thanks. Have a great day, right? Real simple. The other thing is get somebody, number one. Number two, learn English. We're in the United States of America, so learn English. So when I'm out in the store and I need something, I don't understand Spanish.
I didn't pass that class.
Didn't take it. I don't know French, right? So learn English. And number three, understand where the products are in the store.
Right.
So you can say, oh, no problem, sir. It's in aisle 6, halfway through the aisle, right?
Yep.
Real simple. You're there 40 hours a week.
Right.
Shouldn't be that hard.
There's probably some downtime. Look around the store.
When I was 16, I managed a pretty big retail store. You know what? I knew where every single product in that store was. Every single product.
No doubt.
So, and you know what I did? Every single, Mrs. Smith or somebody would come by and say, hi, I'm Mrs. Smith. Can you tell me what this is? No problem. Let me walk you right to
That's
it.
That's right.
It takes 2 seconds.
Exactly. Right? Well, I think people are certainly, the shopping trends are reflecting your frustration, Mike. Yep. And I think that a lot of people, 28% jump in retail sales from Thanksgiving Day year over year. Of that, 54.4% of the traffic was from smartphones.
Yep.
So if you're a retail shop and you don't have an online presence, more importantly, you don't have a mobile app that people can utilize, not just a website, but a mobile app that people can shop, you're going to lose. There's no doubt that's the trend that's going forward. So, obviously, if you can support the local businesses, please do get out there and about today. Small Business Saturday.
Well,
Small Business Saturday, by the way, not a long-term holiday, created just a few years ago by American Express in 2010. They came up with a concept to help to promote
small businesses. By the way, I don't believe retail is dead. And a lot of people say, retail is dead. It's not dead. It's a specialty type of thing,
right?
understand your industry and win. Value you can offer. Do that. And you can do that because I still want that. I want to be able to walk into a hardware store and have somebody say, this is the bolt you need, Mike. Let me show you. This is the tool you need. Let me show you how it works, right? So you're not going to be the master of everything like a big Walmart, but you can master what you do and make it great. And there is going to be a need for that more so than ever. And I'll tell you why. The internet is so big. It's going to cost a lot of money for people to find you. That's the misconception. Years ago, it was easy to find you. Not going to be easy anymore.
Well, I think that's where Walmart is. It does get it right, right? I think not to get on an individual stock talk, but I think Walmart does a great job of blending the online and the retail shop presence, the store presence together, because they've already got the name recognition. They've already got the brand awareness. They've got the pricing flexibility because of how big they are. And they're doing battle with Amazon online, and they're holding their own. You know, they're doing a good job. You know, to mention the other small businesses where I will never go online, right? You think about things like suit shops, right? I'll give a plug. Riverside Men's Shop.
Yeah.
Great place, right? I mean, that's where we buy a lot of our suits and, you know, wonderful folks. There's a couple of great local, in addition to Riverside. But you don't go on, no one's going on Amazon to order suits, right? You don't do that online.
Right.
That's a specialty local thing. They know the value that they provide. I recognize the value that they provide, and so I go there, right? So that's the future of retail, and I think you've got to be, as you said, you've got to know where you fit in and what value that you can offer consumers that they're not going to get online. And oftentimes it is that service aspect of it, to go into a Home Depot, who also, by the way, I think does a good job. Mm-hmm. When you walk into Home Depot or Lowe's, there's somebody at the door greeting you.
Yeah.
If you find someone in the aisle, they will walk you to where you need to go.
They definitely have more foot soldiers with knowledge of where it is. Absolutely.
Yeah, much better. Yeah. Now, on the flip side, I walked into another a business store, an office supply store lately, about a month ago or so, and there was 8 people in there. One person working the register, one person walking the floor, and the other 6 were just hanging out in one aisle. All of them in one aisle. Like they were just having a powwow, like a business. It was executive business.
Executive business.
All right, we got to take a very short break. 803-0930 on *930. We'll come back with your calls on the other side of the break. You've got the Financial Guys live here on News Radio 930 WBE. I'll be right back. Coming back. Already, welcome back. Got the Financial Guys.
Are we on? Is this thing on?
Is this thing on? Hello.
Hey, by the way, we forgot to thank Mike Caputo for filling in last week, and I can't believe we did that. But
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing more complimenting than when people say, he was awesome. I wish you had him do your show all the time. and we will have Russ Thompson and Carl Palladino and Dave DiPietro also filling in the next few months too, as long as they agree to it. So
speaking of which,
nothing but
that's the best.
Yeah, yeah. I love Russ on the show. He's great when you guys fill in. I'm like, are we good? You guys are good too. Yeah.
Kind of a similar story. We had a couple of our great folks in the home office in town. Regina was on the show with us, of course, and. Kelsey and Regina work out of the Palm Beach office, which, by the way, we do have an office down there. If you need us, you can call our office in Buffalo, and we can refer you to one of our advisors in Florida if you happen to be down that area. But they were in Buffalo to not only be on the show, but to watch the radio show, watch the TV show, kind of get a feel for that stuff. So, you know, we do the little bit with Linda, right?
Yeah.
And we come off the air. And I figured they would say, man, you guys are really good.
Oh, you know,
what a great opportunity to see you guys.
You've only been on TV for 2 years? No way.
The first thing they say is, boy, that Linda's so smooth. She was so good. Which she is. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Linda Pellegrino is just absolutely wonderful.
The best.
And but it was just funny because we figured that we were going to walk off and they were going to compliment us. But
That's right. But Mike, by the way, we're talking about setting up, and we will be a bit, but keep posted. In the next few months, we're talking about setting up a government affairs division with the Financial Guys. And, you know, this is the place where money meets politics, but we really believe it is important. You know, people say, well, what does that mean to my money? Well, I'll tell you what it means to your money. The financial crisis, started by a crisis that collapsed AIG and, you know, maybe even and really almost wiped wiped out the banking sector, right? We can thank the Clintons for that in the subprime mortgage market, right? So understanding that kind of stuff long-term and getting people more involved and understanding how it relates to your money is key. And so, you know, we're in talks with Mike Caputo about helping us head up that division. And so keep posted. Well, you'll hear more of Mike, I'm sure. And he does an awesome job. And we, by the way, I had so many thank yous because he literally, you know, spelled out the Mueller investigation and really, you know, some of the,
there was a couple of things this week, actually, that just broke, I think yesterday, one of which is that one of the guys, I can't think of his name now, is supposedly plea, you know, negotiating a plea deal.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't even know what he did. He's like, I don't even know what. I think they're saying I lied to invest. This is the shakedown with the FBI now, okay?
Yeah.
And the Mueller investigation is, oh, we think you lied. It was the same thing with General Flynn, right?
That's right.
Well, you lied. I didn't know I was on the record. What did I lie about? Well, this statement here. Well, I didn't. That statement there, I don't
Was that in the record? We were just talking about stuff back and forth. Yeah.
So corrupt. It is so ridiculous. Corrupt. It is absolutely a witch hunt. And unfortunately, this is abuse of power. Is what this is.
Yep.
When you take an individual, whether it be a Caputo or anybody else, and you run them through the ringer with a strong arm tactic and threaten them and put pressure on them, all for the effort of rolling over on Trump, or whatever. Now, the interesting thing of the article I read, and I'll have to find it during the next break, was that they were talking about the fact that they're trying to get this guy, you know, he was also an associate of Roger Stone, to basically push the narrative that somehow the Trump administration was behind the release of the WikiLeaks information on Hillary, that sank Hillary's election. So literally the article kind of laid it bare to what this is really about.
Yeah.
And it's really about payback for the Clintons, right? Payback for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Because apparently what they think is that Trump colluded with Russia to basically get the DNC emails, including Clinton's, and release them to the public, right?
Yep.
And which did sink her campaign, no doubt about it.
Part of it. The other part of what sunk her campaign is people are sick and tired.
The dishonesty?
They're sick and tired of the dishonesty. They're sick and tired of the hypocritical behavior out of the left. They really, truly are. They're sick and tired of hearing, well, I'm going to help the poor in the middle class, but I'm going to charge you $250,000 to show up to speak, right?
Yep.
They're sick of that, right? They're also sick and tired of seeing, well, you know, we're going to help the poor in the middle class, but Donald Trump hit it head on with, you know what, the trade tariffs are hurting us, I'm going to do something about it. You know what, the factories, we can bring them back here, we can do business here. And that really did resonate with a lot of people. So she lost the campaign, but let me tell you something, Donald Trump won the campaign. He won it. He took it head on. He didn't back down from anybody. By the way, I don't know if he listened to the financial guys, but that was our playbook for a long time. Stop backing down to the left. Right? Stop backing down to the left. I think it was Mike Tyson who said that one time. He said, yeah, everybody's got a plan for me until I punch him square in the face. Right?
That's right.
Everybody's
got a plan.
Everybody's got a
game plan.
Got a game plan for me. Everybody's got a playbook for me until I hit them dead smack right in the face and they break their nose. Then the game plan goes out the window. Right? And that's exactly what Donald Trump did. Right? He said, okay, you can game plan for me all you want. Guess what? I'm not backing down.
That's right.
Anchor Baby? Oh, I'll call him Anchor Baby.
That's
though,
right.
Right?
It's the truth.
He hit him square on and didn't back off and kept punching, and that's what won the election. You know, everybody knows they're crooks. How could you not know she's a crook? You're a total incompetent idiot if you don't know the Clintons are crooks, right?
No doubt.
The Clinton Foundation, they just...
Did you see
Chelsea's
plummeting?
Wedding was $13 million. You're not bright enough to see how hypocritical that is.
For those that think that there wasn't any sort of pay-to-play going on here, have you seen the donations over the last 3 years?
Yeah.
So they go from like $100 million a year to $50 million a year to barely $20 million. Like as the ability to buy off her now that she's no longer in the State Department, all of a sudden, just miraculously, all of those contributions have plummeted.
Nothing to see here.
No.
By the way, migrants marching towards our border, and you know it's time.
There's a bunch of them already on the border.
The president gets the plan. Get on it with him. The president understands what we need to do. And you know, here's what's amazing to me. I see these left, and they want us to, I guess, welcome all these people into the country. Here's what I want you to do to prove me wrong. This would shut me up, right? And we'll take some local politicians, and like Poland Cars, right? Poland Cars has wanted some of these folks to come over the border.
He brought in 25,000.
All
over the world.
How many are in your house?
Yeah.
How many are in your house?
Yeah, or right? Living next door.
Yeah, Timmy Kennedy, how many are in your house? Yeah. Right? How many are in your house? Andrew Cuomo. How many are you taking in, Andrew? Yep. I'm sure you got a pretty big house. Yeah. Let's go. How are the Obamas? The Obamas just bought a 6-bedroom, multi-million-dollar house in Chicago. How many are you taking? How many? The Clintons.
Remember they got multiple mansions. They got mansions all over the country.
Remember what she said when they came out that they could barely pay their mortgages?
Yes, mortgages.
Well, now they figured out a way, because of the incompetence of some of the folks in this country, to steal your money, hundreds of millions of dollars of it, right? They've got multiple homes, which now they can pay their mortgages on. Open them up.
Right.
Open them up.
Never going to happen.
Open them up. That would shut me up. I mean, that would be a win to the argument. It would say, you know what? I believe in these people. I've opened my doors for these people, right? It's so sad to me. You see these, by the way, what is the right number of gang members?
Per thousand?
Per thousand, right. Where it would be okay.
Right.
What's the acceptable number? Is it one per 500? Yeah. We're okay with MS-13 coming as long as it's only one per 500. Right. Like, to me, it's zero.
It's insanity. No, it's got to be zero. And here's the problem is that there are, sadly, good people in that migrant group that are truly fleeing the violence in Honduras.
Of course.
The problem, however, is we can't just let everybody that's good flee Honduras. I mean, what does Honduras become then?
First of all, this problem will never end. Geographically, we do not have enough room to be the dumping ground for the entire world. Not even close.
We were better off if we were trying to fix them.
That's the only way this is going to stop. Is if they fix their own problem and we can assist with that.
That's right.
But we just do not have enough room to be the dumping ground of the world.
Or enough money.
No. Or not. We're broke already. We owe $23 trillion.
That's right. It's out of control. Yeah. But here's the point of how many MS-13 gang members per thousand. I mean, I don't think one is too many.
Yeah.
If it's your child or your family member your wife or daughter or husband or uncle or son. I mean, how many people have been murdered brutally?
Yeah.
There was one family, this poor woman. This kid was 15 years old. He was beaten to death, stabbed to death, and then set on fire.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Who says sorry to that family?
That kid was the kid that did it, he was, quote unquote, a dreamer.
Yeah.
He falls in the dreamer status.
He was a dreamer.
Where suddenly we want to give him whatever. I'm sorry, but we need to, and I think Trump is absolutely right, if we need to shut the entire border down now,
absolutely,
then that's what we do.
Safety is number one, by the way.
Absolutely.
Nobody is ever sympathetic to those family members, right?
No,
why are
we
not sympathetic? Why are we not sympathetic to the people who are going to lose their jobs? Right.
That's
if
true.
We let how many want to let in, Glenn? Yeah. We'd let in,
including
a million. I bet we've got 40 million people on food stamps now. Why are we not sympathetic to getting them jobs?
Well, I tell you where this goes from here. If we continue to keep this, if we continue down this path where we allow this mass immigration, which we already have way more many, this is where I think Sessions actually did do a good job. He got rid of thousands of MS-13 gang members.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Right.
But here's how this plays out, just so everybody understands. Instead of having an inner-city black-on-black problem, we have all-out war between Hispanic and Mexicans and African-Americans in the inner cities. And what looks like a bloodbath right now in Chicago is going to look like it's a walk in the park compared to what's coming if we don't stop this right now and say, you know what? And I think Trump's got the right answer. If you go to a legal port of entry and you declare asylum, we will legitimately look at your case.
Yes.
If you sneak over the border across the desert,
you broke the law.
You broke the law.
Yep.
You go back. I don't care where you're from. We have to have some semblance of law and order in this country, or it just becomes a free for all.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing that free for all now in a lot of cases.
And
look at California. Look at what it's led to. Look at San Francisco.
By the way, I think now California, one of the dirtiest places in the country, right? So your left wing policies are not cleaning up the environment there. It's one of the dirtiest places in the country. One of the poorest.
They're banning straws and giving out hypodermic needles.
That's right.
I mean,
They're banning straws, but yet there's human crap in the streets.
They're handing out hypodermic needles that, by the way, not counting the needle, are made from plastic.
Yeah.
So how do you, as a liberal, how do you write yourself in the brain with that?
Right.
To say, we got to ban straws. If we catch you with a straw in our state, you're going to jail. Ooh. Oh, here's some crack cocaine. Here's some heroin. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't forget the needle.
Oh, don't forget the needle. Here you go.
Oh, did you get your needle, honey?
I mean, what a joke. How do you square that up in your mind?
Whoa. You're not trying to use a straw.
Ho, right there. Straw use right there. Now, mind you, the guy sipping out of the straw is sitting next to the guy that's literally smoking crack in the open.
He's okay. He's got the taper on his arm.
That's
right.
You
can see his veins are doing this, right? It's fine.
Unreal.
It's fine. The poor little 16-year-old girl having a milkshake next to him gets ripped off the bench.
What would be great for you comedians out there would be a conservative type of SNL.
Yeah.
Where they did skits like that.
I agree.
Where they chased somebody down and tackled them because they had a straw as they're running by people shooting up on the sidewalk and defecating in the streets.
Somebody's taking a crap in the street. The other one's got a heroin needle out of his arm.
Right?
And the little girl with the straw is going. The little girl's trying to open up a lemonade stand
a straw. She's trying to get a straw into a juice box. What do they do with juice boxes now? How does that work, right?
Get her!
What a joke. All right, we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we will go to your calls. John, you're up first. I do want to talk about, you mentioned backing down. Mitt Romney now apparently assuming the role of John McCain as the anti-Trump menace in the Senate.
He's already out there
right out of the gate. He's denouncing President Trump's response to Saudi Arabia's
murder. Because that worked out really well, Mitt,
Let me ask you this. What are you denouncing, Mitt?
Yeah.
Do you not realize that the Americans have people assassinated all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, we're taking out people all the time.
Yeah, Mitt,
I think Trump hit it best with this situation, though. What do you want me to do, Trump says.
Yeah.
We have multi-billion dollar relations. Yeah, they took out a guy in an absolutely illegal way, in a horrible way. Yes, it was absolutely a terrible thing. But what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to I chastised them publicly. Am I supposed to completely?
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget what Turkey has done here.
Mitt's just upset that is behind
white
and again, and he didn't win, and you know, that's his. He just doesn't want to go away. It's sad. By the way, we are up against a break here. Real quick break. You know, a lot of volatility lately.
Yeah.
Look, if you're taking your required minimum distributions this time of year, it is absolutely important that you diversify the right way and you take your money out of the right bucket. I can't say that enough. You know, in our office, and Mike Haflick actually said, you know, don't forget the plug. He just sent me a text. Don't forget the plug that when it comes to understanding your overall picture, that's so important. It's not as easy. It's not just, hey, which mutual fund are you in or which stock or bond are you in? Yeah, that's part of it. That's key. But are you optimizing your Social Security, right? Do you have the right Medicare plan that might cost you thousands of dollars, right? Is your money diversified and are you pulling it out of the right bucket when you take your distribution? These are all things you should be focused on. If your planner's not helping you, use our team as a resource, 633-1515. And of course, tis the season for Medicare. Running out of time, we have independent Medicare reps in our office. And if you're turning 65 in the next few months, I would encourage you to take advantage of an independent Medicare rep so you make the right decision right from the get-go. 633-1515, 633-1515. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at FinGuys.
All right, very short break. You've got the Financial Guys live in studio, 803-0930 and *930 if you want to join us. Don't forget the text line is open at 3930. We'll be right back after a short break here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Alrighty, welcome back. Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. And again, if you need us throughout the week, folks, given the current market volatility, if you want a second opinion, you want to pop by our office just to kick the tires, 633-1515 is the office number, 633-1515. Don't forget we are still doing TFG Academy throughout the month of December, and we'll be releasing a new schedule for the first 6 months of next year. A couple of upcoming sessions. December 5th is 403B with Brian Woronowski. December 12th is cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity,
which is huge this time of year, with Holly. And Holly is a former assistant FBI person and knows a lot about.
December's a tough month, right? Everybody's got Christmas on their mind. They've got New Year's on their mind. But I'll tell you what, if you have the chance to see Holly and this is the month, really. Not that you shouldn't worry about it all year, but. Tis the season to worry about identity theft, right?
For sure.
Using your card, buying Christmas gifts, all that stuff. So if you have the chance, go online to our website and register thefinancialguys.com. You got to read that. That's awesome.
Yeah,
you two sound like ignorant
tools
when you talk politics.
Yeah, that must be why we're coming at our 20th year anniversary, by the way, in January. So just about a month off, we'll be celebrating our 20th year on the air. Yeah,
and we've never won an award for being bright.
No, definitely not.
Not one.
I want to read
not
this real
one.
Quick.
Hey, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, catch you next week right here at 1 o'clock.
We've seen that number before.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
Talk about being a total moron.
Yeah, well, I love this one.
That's my favorite. We're the dummies. He spends his whole day. Right. Yeah. We've seen your number before on the text line. It comes through. We know
every
the number.
Every week. I want to read this, speaking of ignorant statements.
And they don't have us here because we're bright. They have us here because we're so damn good looking.
That's exactly right. This is Mitt Romney's statement, though, talking about ignorance. The president's and Secretary of State's Khashoggi statements to date are inconsistent with the enduring foreign policy, with our national interests, and with basic human rights, and with American greatness. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Sanctions do not necessarily require ending the alliance. They do demand real and painful consequences. Hey, Mitt, how many people do you think the CIA and the FBI and our government has whacked around the world? I mean, seriously.
Hey, Matt.
Now, I'm not saying this was right, but let's keep in mind. Let's just keep this in mind for a second. This guy was a journalist. Yes. He worked for the Washington Post. Yes. He was also a Muslim Brotherhood operative. Yes. Not the nicest of guys in the world.
Forgot to mention that, huh?
Just amazing.
Yeah, Mitt, go away.
Where were you, Mitt?
Go away. Where was this toughness when you were running for president?
Where was this toughness when Saudi Arabia is hanging and beheading people on a regular... Let's not forget this, okay? Yes. Did they kill a journalist? Yes. Was he assassinated and cut up into pieces? Absolutely. Was it gruesome? For sure. Was it a direct premeditated hit? Sounds like it, right? What else do you think happens in Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia literally has hung people for being gay.
Right.
Right? Has jailed people for making comments against forever and killed them for making comments against the... They're not the Boy Scouts, Mitt. And they're not. And so this, by comparison to the other things that Saudi Arabia has done, this is like normal day-to-day activity for them. Just what's to condemn, Mitt?
Spend some time
Mitt's
with
out
your
there scoring
Mitt.
Political points, right? Honestly,
spend
God.
Some time with your family, Mitt. Your presidential run is over, right?
Well, he's the new McCain in the Senate now.
Oh, good.
He's the new Maverick now, right? Thanks,
when we're $23 trillion in debt.
Good job, Mitt. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's welcome John in Rochester. John, you are live with the Financial Guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hey, Glenn and Mike, how are you guys doing? Listen, you got enough turkey. I had three helpings.
I had too much turkey. Too much turkey.
Yeah, I didn't
know if that was possible, but I had too much turkey.
Saudi Arabia, that whole situation with Saudi Arabia, you hit it on the head. Khashoggi was a ally of the Muslim Brotherhood, a terrorist group who was banned in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was a Muslim country. They're so bad. They were behind the assassination of... Anwar Sadat back in the 70s.
It's not the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, not the Boy Scouts.
Nope.
Neither is Saudi Arabia.
Nope.
So it's just Mitt acts as if like everybody is pure and driven as the white snow, and as soon as something happens and Trump any opportunity to criticize Trump. I mean, this is a joke.
Yeah.
Trump's response, to be honest with you, was absolutely spot on as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. What do you want me to do was his response.
And
what do you want me to do?
And by the way, the border problem right now, I think he's handling it the right way. Absolutely. Shut down the border. You were not letting people over. It's funny. I saw somebody on was it on Facebook or something that said, "Oh well, you know, he's going to just shut down the border. You know, we're not going to be able to do business back and forth."
Okay.
Really? 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 So we'll just let a bunch of terrorists and gang members in,
because we're going to shut down
the cocaine trafficking, because 90% of it comes through that border. The heroin, 90% of it comes through that border. Is that what we're not going to be able to get back and forth?
That's
Give me
right.
a break.
Not as freely as they'd like.
Of the Mexican people in Tijuana against this invasion, they were flabbergasted that the Mexican government, their government, let this invasion through.
You know what else?
Hold up in Tijuana.
That's right. You know what else is ridiculous? Is that when they do get in our country and then they try to go into Canada has all... Trudeau's out there going, "Oh my God, we've got a huge migrant crisis. We can't allow all these people in."
But the U.S.
Why are we supposed to? But no other country has to, right?
But he's a left-wing liberal who's going, "Wow, shame on the U.S. for not letting them in, right?"
I'll tell you,
we need to start enforcing the U.S. immigration laws here and make sure we're doing whatever we can to expand ICE agents in this country. Give them much power as we possibly need.
Trump hit it on the head. This is an invasion. There's no doubt about it. And I'll tell you another thing. Judge Roberts got ticked off at President Trump because Trump criticized the Ninth Circuit, one of the judges in the Ninth Circuit, San Francisco, the hotbed of leftists.
Yep.
And Roberts fought back against Trump for criticizing the court. Well, I got to tell you, Trump's right on. If you look at the record of the Ninth Circuit Court in that district, every, I think...
4 out of 5 gets overturned.
Yeah. And to your point, we have to do whatever we can to take federal dollars out of those sanctuary cities.
4 out of 5, 80%. They're wrong 80% of the time. So, yeah, they're right to be criticized.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Look what Roberts did on Obamacare.
Yep.
One of the most ridiculous decisions. I've listened to some constitutional attorneys talk about his decisions on Obamacare.
Well, shame on the Republicans for not getting rid of it.
Yep.
Shame on the Republicans when they had the opportunity.
Yep.
Shame on the Republicans for spending money faster than Nancy Pelosi.
That's right. They deserve to get whacked in the midterms, and that's a shame. But, you know, there's no difference, by the way. They took over the House. There's no difference between those Democrats and Republicans. None.
No,
The House. Republicans, they sound like a broken record. They'll tell you when they run that they're conservative, they're going to stop all this stuff, the spending's got to stop. The second they get in office, they spent a record amount of money. They had 2 years to basically get the budget in order and start to act like conservative Republicans, and they did nothing.
They had more than that.
Totally useless.
They had more than that. They didn't do any of it. So thanks for the call, John.
Well, they had Obama there before, but now we had 2 years with Trump.
That's true.
Very easy. Over the last 2 years, first of all, the wall should be being built, right? 5% across every government
like
agency
wall,
to
by
balance
the
budget.
They act like that wall is going to cost $10 trillion.
No, give me
a
break.
Come on.
Turn me a break. First of all, you increase ICE agents, right? You increase the technology so we can spot these people and we can round them up and arrest them and send them back, and you build the wall. Record, we got all kinds of government waste everywhere. And then you cut 5% across the board to every government agency to start to balance the
budget. That's exactly what needs
things
to happen.
And by the way, they also, which was absolutely ridiculous with the Trump tax proposal, you cut corporate taxes, you cut them in half, you did a great thing. Individual tax rates, that stunk. That was awful.
Think about
and
this.
And they said, by the way, they go, we're going to come back and do it next
time.
Sure.
Never.
Sure.
Could you next time.
I say this all the time. Can you imagine us having a business meeting and going, this time we're going to do it half you know what?
Yeah.
But in 6 months, we're going to circle back around and do
it
the right way.
And really get it right. It's amazing. it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you
in
look
the business
at the budgets,
world, you don't get the chance to circle back around.
No. When you look at the budgets in 2008, 2007, 2008, the federal government had a $3 trillion budget, okay? Under Obama, that expanded to $4 trillion. Mm-hmm. So up 30% in additional trillion. But in the last 2 years, under Paul Ryan and the Republicans, we've gone from $4 trillion to $4.75 trillion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 10 years, we have basically gone from $3 to almost $5 trillion, up 60%
and every
is
one
what
of
we've
them,
increased.
Every one of them run on the platform of being fiscally conservative.
60% increase. If you wind the clock back further, you can go back to just 20 years ago. We were at $2 trillion as a federal budget. We're up 150% from that point in just 20 years. I can tell you at a 3% inflation rate, which is what we've had, we could have maybe doubled in that
time.
We'd
be lucky to have a 3% inflation rate, by the way. Lucky.
Unreal.
Lucky.
All right, folks. So we're
John, thanks, buddy.
John, appreciate your call. David, Kevin, and Robin, please stay up. We're going to just take a quick break, a cop across hall for the news. We will come right back to your calls and questions. Whole another hour to go, folks. Stay tuned. If you need us throughout the week, 633-1515. Again, we do manage money for a living. We'll talk more about the volatile markets in the upcoming hour and what you can do to position your portfolio. At least take advantage of the volatility. And again, if you need us throughout the week, 633-1515. If you want to join the program the next hour, 803-0930. *930 is a free call and a sound. Again, 1-800-616-9236. You've got the financial guys. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
The Financial Guys.
The system.
It's time to talk money. It's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930.
toll free 1-800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930. Now, live from the WBEN studios, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. We are the financial guys. Lots of imitators, only one set of originals right here in studio today. 803-0930 if you want to join us. Star 930 is a free call and a sound. Again, 1-800-616-9236. We will go to the phones in just a second. So if you want to hop on, please do. If you want to text us, 30930 is a great text. Just got a text that came in. If you guys can talk about the wasted $20 million called the Welcome Center on the island with no gas pumps, only electric car chargers.
Wow.
I was going to talk about all the signs that got taken
down. You can't put something on there that people would use.
No, why would we do that?
The nice thing is it looks... It, you know, now that we're welcoming the electric cars, but nobody will use them, it won't cost us anything.
That guy in Canada will. Yeah. What's his name?
No, he couldn't afford a car.
Remember, he couldn't afford the car.
He wants one. He thinks you should buy one. Yeah. I should buy one.
We should be. We're stuck in the muddy.
No, that's great. Yeah, but and now what did we do? We spent $8-10 million in New York City taking down the
signs.
Welcome New York.
That was great. So we spent $20 million putting them up to welcome to New York, and then
I don't care. But here's I like, because when I write my quarterly check to New York, I don't care. Like that stuff to me, that's like that's part of doing business.
Well spent. The best part is they're putting new signs up.
Oh yeah.
Thinking a new campaign. Yeah. You know, come to New York. We you know, a vampire state. Yeah. I mean, it's just will suck you dry.
Leaving so quick? What is it, something we tax?
Yeah. That's amazing. It really is. All right, 803-0930 on Star.
But you know what? I feel good now. The Democrats are in power. They'll actually be able to do stuff, and it'll all be good. It'll look a lot different in the next 2 to 3 years. So.
Well, people voting with their feet and spending money with their iPhones. There's as we mentioned last hour, Thanksgiving Day, shopping carts, online spending reaching $3.7 billion, which was up 28% from the previous year. That's according to Adobe Analytics on CBS MarketWatch. Many customers went online using their mobile devices, with smartphones driving a record 54.4% of traffic on Thanksgiving Day. So everybody sitting back on the couch after turkey, instead of watching the football game, which was a good game, by the way, between Detroit and Chicago.
I didn't see it.
Detroit lost, as usual. I'm used to that, being a Michigan Stater. But good game at least. But less and less people doing that. More and more people shopping on their iPhones. They don't have to have a computer to do it.
I have been a faithful Sabres fan. I want to say I almost gave up my jerseys. I don't know that I have any jerseys, but my daughter got me back into the Sabres because she's a huge Sabres nut, and so glad to see them on seven or eight games in a row, unreal. So their record is 10 games in a row. And as a Sabres fan, we've just been through so much punishment over the last few years. It's almost hard to believe we have this team. It's like not real. It's not real. Like, watching him going, when are you going to implode? Like that's the Buffalo thing, right? So
that's great. Good deal.
We do have, and you know, let me say this too, by the way, Bitcoin below 5,000.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll tell you a story. I obviously can't mention names, but I was at a reunion of mine, high school reunion a few years ago. And this is 2 years ago, and it was my 10th high school reunion. No, so, but
you wish.
But you know, somebody walked in. One of the guys walked in with a Bitcoin shirt, and he's telling everybody to buy Bitcoin. And I said, you know, he started asking me, he's, you know, new, you know,
it was a Chris Collins, was it?
No, he said. You know, I said, you got to really be careful about what you're doing. He said, what do you mean? And he goes, this is going to be the next biggest thing. I said, well, you know, there's a big responsibility to play financial planner, and you're not one.
Right.
So you really need to be careful. Like, if you're going to buy this stuff and you're going to put it in your IRA account, maybe it is right for your risk tolerance. I assure you it's not right for most of these people's risk tolerance. Well, he didn't listen to me. And some of the folks bought a bunch of it in their IRA accounts. And, you know, and that's unfortunate. Look at folks. Diversification is a key, and I'm not telling you not to buy some of this stuff, but it has to be a percentage of your portfolio that's not going to change your retirement plans.
Yeah.
Build yourself a roadmap, you know, use some financial planning software, It is 2018 going on 2019. There's some awesome financial planning software out there that we use that you can see the overall picture, understand your tolerance for risk, understand your goals and objectives. If you'd like to pop into our office for a free review, 633-1515. But put together a plan and a roadmap, a personal roadmap for yourself, and make sure you understand that that stuff needs to be a little part of your overall plan. That's when you not do it.
But understand, you know, when you look at, first of all, for most people, the volatility of a cryptocurrency is going to be more than they can.
Way out of the range. Yeah.
But for the small group of people that it might be right for, definitely no more than a percent or two in your portfolio. Yeah. Certainly no more than five. Yeah. But I would say, you know, if you've got $1 million net worth, let's say, and $1 million in investments, and you want to dabble with $10,000 to $20,000 or $30,000 or something like that, that would even be a lot. I would probably keep it under that, and otherwise you tend to have a bigger potential for loss. So you just need to understand the risk of different investments and just make sure you balance your portfolio properly. 633-1515 if we can help you there.
Yeah, good time, by the way, to make those changes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, understanding your volatility, understanding what you can and can't do, walking through a homework process. You can go to our website, by the way, thefinancialguys.com, and send us an email. If you need any questions answered, we'll hopefully do our best. And, of course, follow us on Twitter. Like us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's welcome David in Buffalo is up next. Hi, David. Thank you so much for patiently waiting. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. How was your Thanksgiving? Everything fine?
Fantastic. How was yours?
It was very, very nice, but my grandkids drove me nuts at the end.
That's okay. The best part about grandkids, you can send them home at the end. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know.
That's right. You can sugar them up and send them home.
That's right.
Anyways, listen, the only way to stop these the poverty in South America and Honduras and all these other Ecuadorian countries and every other country that we give money to is to obviously fix their economy. However, the people in power, they don't care. They don't really care at all about their people.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, when you look at socialism, there is winners to that, right? I mean, look at Maduro, he's winning big time.
When you
look at the Democrat Party, by the way, there's winners in that. The Obamas are winning, right? The Clintons are winning. You know, the whole platform is, hey, look, we're going to help the poor and the middle class. They're not poor. They're not middle class, right? There's winners to that. Absolutely, there's going to be winners to that. Unfortunately, there's a lot more losers.
That's right, and a lot more losers. Yeah.
I mean, you got to set up safe zones. You have to set up safe zones, and you know, to your point that you know the U.S. is not the policeman to the world.
But to his point though, I think what we need to do is we need to export capitalism, right?
No doubt.
Especially with Honduras, Ecuador,
that's right.
We should be the beacon promoting capitalism throughout the world.
Yes.
What we are now is we have one party promoting flat out socialism, and we have the other party talking about socialism light. Right? Seriously.
We're not talking about
we're giving them money, yes. Yeah. We're giving them aid.
We're not teaching them about free market capitalism.
No.
And how it has been the greatest system to take people from the lowest, poorest tax ring to the highest in the fastest amount of time. Right?
It's gotten more people out of poverty than any other system on the planet, bar none.
Yes.
That's what we need to do down there is to say, listen, we're going to help to give you more, export more free market capitalism ideals that you can implement in your country. And, you know, but to your point, Mike, and to your point too, David, a lot of the aid we give them goes right to the corrupt politicians.
That's right.
It doesn't get to the poor people. Doesn't help anything. They're not creating safe zones. They're beefing up their military to kill their own people and enforce what they want.
That's
it's sad.
Hey guys, why don't we cut them off? And if our monies are not going to the people, why don't we stop that?
I think that's what Donald Trump is saying.
Well,
the only way
you can cut them off is if you're going to have really, really, really secure borders and you're going to say it's your problem. Because otherwise, what's happening is they're just getting on the train and they're riding it to America and they're saying, let me in because where I'm coming from is no longer a livable situation. And you have to feel for some of these families. You know, we're not heartless. I mean, some of these poor families from Honduras have seen their family members killed. You know, one family I read about, he was a police officer. He left with his two sons. He's like, listen, the gang came into my house. My 15 and my 12-year-old sons said, if you don't join the gang, we're killing your whole family. Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
I've moved 12 times. The only thing I can do is pack up as much stuff as I could carry
Keep
and start
moving.
Walking somewhere else.
Yep.
So if we do just cut them off, I mean, you're going to end up having literally hell holes on Earth that look more like Somalia than like Honduras. Yeah. And so I think there's a better answer. And I think that answer needs to come through, you know, pressure from diplomacy with financial aid, but to implement free market ideals, not just give them money willy-nilly. The problem is, I don't know that – I'm not quite sure – which party, if any, in this country anymore
has the ability
believes
to lead
in
up
free
that
market
train?
Capitalism? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, geographically, though, we cannot fit everybody, right? We cannot fit everybody. So if we all decide as a nation that we are very sympathetic and we want to bring them all in, we cannot fit even 1/60th of that. We just don't have the room, right? Okay. We don't have the money. We don't have the room.
Yep, it doesn't help the country in the long run either. So anyway, thanks for the call, David. Yep. We appreciate it. Have
Good
a great
call,
weekend.
Dave.
Let's stick in a commercial break here before we get too long in this segment and blow it off completely. I'll come back with Kevin and Sally. You are up on deck. Again, folks, if you're concerned about the recent market volatility, or you're just approaching retirement, or just have a financial need or question in general, or a healthcare need when it comes to Medicare, we have a very diverse team of investment and insurance professionals that can help you with you and your money. Please feel free to use us as a resource if you think like us. Call us at the office at 633-1515. That's 633-1515. Don't forget to use our website as a resource at thefinancialguys.com. You can sign up for things like our TFG Academy, our Medicare Mondays. You can ask a question right through the website. You can go on to Orange and track your financial plan and your and how you're progressing towards your goals and so much more. So again, thefinancialguys.com. Use us as a resource. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at FinGuys. Lots of the stuff we talk about throughout the week, a lot of the articles that we're going to talk about, we post to either our Facebook or our Twitter feed at FinGuys, so follow us and like us there as well. All right, very short break. We're going to come back with your calls and questions. You want to join us here again, 803-0930 and *930. You've got the Financial Guys. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All righty, welcome back, Financial Guys. Another 39 minutes left in today's show. Don't wait till the last second, folks. You have a call or a question or a comment you want to make, 803-0930 and *930. Coming in on the text board at 30930, all things in moderation, it smooths the curves. Absolutely right.
Yeah, that's diversification in our world.
That's right.
And, you know, we've been talking and mixing in a little money here with all the volatility, recent volatility. By the way, this is not uncommon. You know, I look at, you know, the markets have had a run up here. We've had a recovery. Certainly not the recovery that the country has been used to coming out of a recession, right? We've had really, you know, almost hardly any economic growth from the bottom to the top, you know, coming out of Obama. The economy started to grow at a 3 or 4%, which we have the potential to go 5 or 6%. So, you know, to me, looking at some market volatility, allowing some of these companies to start to have earnings, catch up to growth, is not such a bad thing. And every time we have a 5 or a 10% market correction, people start to panic. Oh no. I think, you know, part of that is the psychology of going through two of the worst bear markets ever. Right? I mean, we had two brutal bear markets where we had a tech wreck and a financial crisis. And a lot of investors are saying, oh no, when's the next 50% dip? I would tell you that when you look at price relative to earnings, we're not really that expensive. We're not cheap, but we're not expensive. And we've got an economy where you're starting to see tax cuts go into play. Look at the Fed is something we have to be careful of. The Fed increasing interest rates too fast to slow this thing down. Starting to see signs, though, that the Fed is saying, look, we'll back off a little bit. We'll let this thing grow. And of course, we got to work out some of these trade deals. And by the way, President Trump said that. He said that months ago. He said, look, these trade deals are not fair to the U.S., but at some point, we've got to negotiate better deals. And in the short term, it's going to cause us some pain. And he's right. We got to work out a deal with China. Got to work out a deal with China. They've been winning. They've been winning big time. And it's about time we win. And in the short term, it is going to cause some volatility. I do think in the long term, though, we will win. And they are going to have to do a deal. They sell us a lot more garbage than we sell them.
That's right. They're definitely going to have to do a deal, but I think that they're going to stick their heels in a lot longer than like NAFTA.
That's
well,
a big
European
deal for them.
Union,
huge. You're talking
and things like that.
Trillions
right?
of dollars.
No doubt.
Trillions of dollars over decades, right? I mean, we're selling an automobile there. They charge us 20%. They sell one here, it's 2.5%.
Right. It's got to be fair.
My 7-year-old can figure that out. That's not fair.
You know, the ideal is to get to a zero tariff, right?
That's
been able to successfully do that in certain cases. I mean, NAFTA's a much better deal now.
Yep.
The European Union's talking talking about getting to zero.
Yeah.
That's the idea. I will say that the bigger issue in my mind for next year, and when you talk about volatility, is really the Federal Reserve, right?
Yes.
The Federal Reserve, after keeping interest rates at zero
That's right.
for 8 straight years yeah. under Obama, and don't tell me the Federal Reserve is not political. Do not go out there and say, I can't believe Trump is making comments on the Fed. They're supposed to be independent. Yeah. That's a bunch of bold, you know what? That's crap is what that is.
Yeah,
the Fed is nothing, not even close to independent, hasn't been for 20 years. And I can give you multiple examples of undue influence by multiple presidents, including Clinton and Bush and Obama, that influenced their decisions. Zero raises, zero interest rates in 8 years. Suddenly, inflation just took off?
Right.
I mean, seriously?
Yeah, with zero, by the way.
Seven rate increases in less than 2 years?
Zero,
come on.
Zero signs come of inflation on. In this economy.
Give me a break.
And they're increasing interest rates. Total right. political hit. But I will say, for the first time in since Trump's been in office, at least I'm starting to hear them say, hey, maybe we can hold off a little bit. Obviously, stock market volatility is a big deal with that, right?
Well, look, there's no reason to be a rush. If we had runaway inflation,
that's right,
then it would be like, okay, well, let's do that's some right. bigger increases. Let's that's do right. some half point increases if we need to.
Yep.
The Fed is always behind the curve. Always. Yep. They're a day late and a dollar short. Yep. They should have been raising rates over a period of 4 or 5 years,
right.
a little bit at a time, not trying to cram them all in Obama's White House had the wrong policy completely.
That's exactly right. I mean, when you look at the stupidity out of the Obama administration, it was, wow, another dumb thing, another regulation out of Obama, yep. let's cut rates. Another tax out of Obama, let's cut yep. rates. Well, the stupidity was so great, it took us to zero.
Right.
It literally took us to zero.
And
right?
then they dumped more money in the economy.
That's right.
Right?
That's
that
right.
wasn't even enough.
That's
then
right.
they had to do QE twist, QE3.
All they would have had to do, look at lower interest rates to stimulate the economy. Don't bring them to zero. It had Obama just left the tax rates alone,
yep.
we would have been just fine.
And
by the way, the right
the
thing to do
the
would
golf
have been,
course, he'd have been
the,
great.
The right thing to do would have been to cut tax rates. We have the highest tax rates in the free world by the time you start to add in state taxes and everything else. Yeah. You know, I love these people say, well, you want the tax rates to be zero. No, but I'm thinking if you've worked your butt off your whole life and you finally make it as a business owner and you're losing 50% of your money before you
right.
do anything,
right.
I'm thinking that's a lot.
That's
I don't
a
know.
Lot. Yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
A lot.
I just saying, like if
lot.
You worked and you're husband and wife and you put all you've leveraged your house,
yep.
you borrowed money and you opened up a restaurant and you finally make it and you lose half of what you make,
well,
I think that's a lot.
Just like
I'm
that socialist
saying.
Said, well, all you did was start the business. How hard was that? Unreal.
Was that?
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's welcome Sally in North Tonawanda. Hi, Sally. You're live with the Financial Guys. Thank you for holding.
Oh, thank you. By the way, I worked in New York City in technology with foreign-born people, and the men do not treat females the same way as we do in this country. So
Western values are much different.
Yes.
Encouragement for that type of visa. But I was calling because I'm waiting for somebody to say, yeah, this is what Saudi Arabia does. But guess what China does? It was in the news a couple of days ago. They're having Chinese move into the homes of the Muslims, the Uyghurs or whatever they're called, to make sure they're loyal to the Chinese government. They're going to say they have.
Well, we're going to do that here. All the liberals are going to open up their homes.
That's right.
There's no doubt about that. All the MS-13 gang members will be living in Poland Carson's house here locally.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Cuomo is going to open up his house. The Obamas, 6 bedrooms, full. Clintons, all their what do they got, 7, 8 homes now?
Yeah.
They're going to open them up. So that's exactly what's going to happen here. I'm just kidding.
I just wish somebody would talk about the Chinese and say, you know, at least they do it secretly. Because, you know, these journalists are so self-righteous and get in an uproar.
Yep.
And, you know, I pray for them because it's so serious, the misrepresentations that they bring out. And I have friends that are influenced by CNN.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, you know, in China now, they have a point system. You have a score. So you have a score depending on how loyal you are or things. They follow you right on through. And you know, China is certainly not the Boy Scouts when it comes to human rights any stretch.
We have liberals that want to just open up our borders and burn our own flag.
Right.
Loyal.
Yes. They hate America.
They hate America.
By the way,
where would they propose to go? That's what I want to ask.
By the way, a lot of these migrants that are marching towards the border are waving their own flags.
That's right.
I don't understand
that. They're not waving American flags.
Yeah.
They're waving the Honduras flag.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, go back there.
Right. If you love it so much.
Yeah.
Right. If it's such a great place,
right.
if you want to wave their flag.
Right. Wouldn't you be waving our flag saying, hey, we want your American values.
Right.
We will protect you. We will fight for you. They're waving their own flag.
Yeah,
get
it's
out
crazy.
Of here.
But Sally, to your point, and it's a great point to make,
yes.
You know, the way that other countries, you know, treat their immigrants and treat different people is way worse than we do in this country.
Yep.
Well, the basis of this country was, you know, Christian beliefs, which created the better form of capitalism. I didn't agree with Bush thinking he could bring it to the rest of the world. I don't think it works in other places because they don't have a moral foundation.
Well, I you're right. Yeah. I think it could with the right moral foundation and the right the right philosophy, yeah. No doubt. But they're not accepting of that. And I agree with you there. So I got to take a quick break, Sally. But thank you so much for your call. Have a happy Thanksgiving, a great weekend.
Yep.
Take a very short break, folks. We'll be back on the other side with more of your calls and questions. Kevin, you're up on deck first. 803-0930 and *930. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Alrighty, welcome back. Got the financial guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Wilmus here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And this is Thanksgiving weekend. It is Small Business Saturday. So if you are out and about, please patronize your local small business. They especially in New York, they desperately need your help. I mean, there's no doubt about it. New York is not a friendly, happy place for small businesses.
That's not what Andrew tells me.
Oh, I don't care.
Things have never been better, Glenn. Oh, my. Never been better.
I don't care if you run a snow plowing and landscaping service or a dry cleaner or a restaurant or a construction company or a financial firm or you name it. New York is not a friendly place for business, especially small business. Now,
yes.
It is a friendly place for businesses like Tesla.
That's
and
right.
Solar City, right?
Oh.
Apparently, it's a very friendly place if you make windmills and you're a windmill company.
But see,
or Amazon, perhaps. Tesla. Very friendly to Amazon.
Elon Musk needed the money, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only has a few billion dollars.
And so does what's his name.
That's not fair. That's just not fair to make that comparison. I mean, you know, you and I, Glenn, who started with nothing, we'd get nothing.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos, meanwhile, is the richest man in the world.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
He needed that subsidy.
Absolutely.
By the way, Warren
Buffett, you have to give Geico money.
Yeah,
you have to.
Even if you agree with corporate welfare, which we absolutely do not, New York has the lousiest negotiators in the country, right? They were going to put this plant in New York City. It was going to be the main headquarters for Amazon, right? We gave them $2.5 billion with a B dollars between the state and New York City to bring that deal here. Now, at the last second,
Amazon said, that deal was based on bringing a certain number of people
here
to New York.
Yes.
Yep.
So, yeah, like something like 50,000 jobs. Yeah. Now, somewhere in the negotiations.
It really doesn't matter because the numbers actually never
No.
You pick 50, 100,
whatever.
It
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's irrelevant, but that's why I didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
But
the funny part is, it's important because another state negotiated a better deal.
So Virginia, right? So at the last second, Amazon decides, you know what? We're going to spread the wealth around. We're going to break this headquarters into two different locations. We're going to put 25,000 employees in New York and 25,000 employees in Virginia. Virginia ended up paying about $1.2 billion for the 25,000 jobs.
Do you think
New York would go back and say, hey, wait a minute, that $2.5 billion we promised you was based on 50,000 jobs. Now that you've cut the facility in half, we want to. So that's what Virginia did. Virginia said, listen, if we're bringing half the jobs, we'll give you half the money. New York said, who do we make the check out to? Who do we write the $2.5 billion to? How stupid are we? Who's the guy to negotiate in Solar City?
Follow the campaign, Zemsky.
Yes,
thank you. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the money.
Right? Where
follow
is
the
it
green
back
paved
to?
Road.
Andrew Cuomo, I'm sure, will get a nice campaign contribution, right? Blasio, the same deal, right? They're going to get nice campaign contributions back for this. Think about this, folks. And for all you liberals that listen to this show because it's a car wreck for you, whatever you are, right? You're a teacher, you're a professor. You know what? All is worth saying is, look, at that $2 billion, give you some of your own money back. Keep some of your own money, right? You'll go out and buy a pizza with it, and guess what's going to happen? The pizzerias will do better. They'll need to hire architects. They'll need to hire plumbers. They'll need to hire real estate agents to find their new location. They'll need to buy stoves and cheese and pepperoni and milk from our local farmers, yep. Right? It's as easy as that. Stop with the corporate welfare. The other thing is, Glenn, you put it this point, they really are crappy at it. They're terrible at it. They pick losers.
Every time.
Every single time.
Look at this case. They're paying $100,000 per job.
Yeah.
Why not just give people back their own money?
Allow us to negotiate that. They negotiated with the Senecas and forgot to put money in it.
Well, in this state, you can definitely.
What kind of moron does a contract like that?
Hazemski.
If you are going to put up a casino, you know you're going to need fire there. You're going to need all kinds of police protection, right? And that's not going to go away. It's not going to go away in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years. It's unreal to think that they would negotiate a contract that would go away, that revenue stream would go away. And it's even more mind-blowing to me that they forgot about it. Like, it wasn't like priced into the score. Like, hey, just so you know, that goes away in 10 years.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Let's count on it forever.
Yeah, no. How many armies of attorneys do they have at the state? And none of them figured that out?
Unreal.
It is just pure incompetence.
Unreal.
So for those that say, you know, those that think if you're a liberal and you want to pay more in taxes and you think the government can spend more your money better than you can, just look at New York and ask yourself, really? Who's better off to spend your money? Even if you gave your money away, let's say that you decided you want to be the most charitable person in the world. Let's take Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett gave $40 billion to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Did he think government could use that $40 billion better? Or a private enterprise or a private foundation? Well, obviously he thought the private foundation, or he wouldn't have given his money to the private foundation, right?
The Gates Foundation as well.
Why
gave all their wealth away.
Right?
Wow.
Why do these folks continue to talk about bigger government and higher taxes when it's obvious, it's brutally obvious that the government, in so many ways, whether it's a gajillion-dollar website from Rochelle's college buddy, or it's a Solar City investment in an empty warehouse, which, by the way, there's a great article this week that we posted talking about, did Elon Musk forget about Buffalo? No, he didn't forget.
No.
He's laughing all the way to the bank.
Absolutely.
He didn't forget about it.
Absolutely.
They talked about the fact that it was basically vacant, that there's still equipment sitting in boxes.
Yes. Yes.
That they haven't even unpackaged yet.
There is a plan, though. I found out, Glenn, there's a plan for that warehouse. And the plan is going to be that all the Democrat votes that get lost in the future.
They find them there.
What we're going to do is store them in Solar City.
I see.
When the election's over, instead of trying to like get them out of car, you know, trunks, and you know, they happen to be in this closet, we'll just go down to Solar City. They'll be nice and protected. The factories, you know, I'm sure it's all fireproof and all that stuff. So we can just say, how many boxes do you need, Democrats? We need like 15,000 votes. Okay, I think there's 1,000 in that box, 1,000 in that box. Grab 15 boxes, you should be good. Grab 16 just to be sure. The 16th box or that room, those are all dead people that were now.
That's right. Just register them. Those are ballots.
Yeah, those are re-registered dead people. But take
right.
a box of those
Speaking
two just to be safe.
Nate McMurray.
Yeah.
Look, you're already a loser,
yeah.
right?
People clearly
chose the multimillionaire who's run multiple successful businesses, even though he's under federal indictment, over the guy who can mow his own lawn.
Yeah, that
don't make yourself a sore loser
by
continuing to contest a vote that you have no chance of winning.
Yeah. Next time you run, I think there's
irregularities here.
Irregularities.
Oh, the only irregularities are the people that actually checked the wrong box for you.
For you.
Seriously.
That's right.
Do yourself a favor.
Next time you run, Nate, I will help you put together a better campaign. I felt bad for you.
Don't make yourself look any more foolish.
Don't run a commercial that says you cut your own grass.
But
we don't care. It's actually a bad investment, by the way.
Once you lose to the indicted candidate, you're pretty much better off just to kind of fade into the sunset.
No, you know,
right?
The right thing to do is shake his hand
and
say, look, I wish you the best,
right? No.
And if there's anything I can do to help, you know. And by the way, that saves you face for being able to step back in and run again, right? But your campaign stunk. It was a bad campaign.
On Monday, he'll have his announcement.
Yeah.
He'll have his press conference on Monday after he's consulting with his attorneys about his next steps.
Uh-huh.
I hope your next step is conceding gracefully and shaking Collins' hands. Because if your next step is to continue to contest a vote that you can't possibly win.
Go back to cutting your own grass.
Unreal.
Although with global warming, Nate, it'll be here any day. You will be able to cut your own grass by June.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. So this, I just want to read this real quick. This is from a Bloomberg Business Week. Just south of Buffalo, near abandoned factories and crumbling brick warehouses, is a 1.2 million square foot white box with Tesla solar panel factory inside. The state of New York paid $750 million to fund this place based on a commitment to create nearly 1,500 jobs here. On a Tuesday morning in mid-November, a group of 24 of these workers is monitoring several rows of robots that are stamping out materials for the solar roof, a new kind of solar panel that Tesla chief executive officer Elon Musk is very excited about.
Oh, he's
or
excited.
Or was, anyway.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it says. I mean, seriously? A couple dozen?
Now,
how many people are there? 100 people are working there?
Nah, that roof, by the way, it's going to change the world, Glenn. Yeah, that roof is going to change the world. Nobody's going to be able to afford it, but it'll be.
What happens in places like Buffalo that see the sun for like, you know, 3 months of the year, well, right? They just freeze the other bunch of months, or
yeah. Well, that's when you turn your heater on, right?
So this goes on to say, this article, by the way, is coming out of the fact that they just finally opened up the inside of the plant to bring in some journalists because they never will.
No,
one's been in there.
By the way, I've tried to call a bunch of times to try to get there. They won't let us in.
So Ray Walter went down there. He's a Republican in New York State Assembly. He lost his own reelection bid, but he was able to get into the factory. When he toured the factory back in March, he recalls it was mostly empty. I would say 10 to 15% of the floor is being utilized for production.
Oh, that's good.
Which is still the case today. So,
yeah, no. That's good. 10 to 15%.
Yeah, why not? So that's great.
I'll tell you what. That's a step ahead of the one in Syracuse that's totally vacant.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, the one they just, you know, the movie theater they spent $500 million I just gave away for a dollar. Sold it for a dollar. Yeah. Remember that was going to be the next
thing. At least we're getting rent on this. Buck a month. I mean,
yeah, I think it's $1 a year, actually. But
is it?
I think it is, yeah. I think it's $1 per year. It's like that Trading Places thing with Eddie Murphy. Remember that? $1? All right, let's go to the phone.
On a percentage basis, that's a big deal, Glenn.
Yeah, it's huge. That's,
right. Dollar a year, a dollar a month.
That's a big difference.
That's a big deal.
All right, 803-0930, *930 if you want to join us, 1-800-616-9236. Let's get Kevin from Pendleton in the mix here. Kevin's been patiently waiting as well. Hi, Kevin. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving to you.
It's happy Thanksgiving and happy post-Black Friday, man. And guys, you kind of stole some of my thunder here. Mm. I have some suggestions for my friends in Grand Island, what they can do with their welcome center. One of your texters were talking about, if I may do a public service here.
Yeah, sure. Please.
Yeah, guys, in Grand Island, hello, Grand Island. I have some suggestions for your welcome center with this tree or whatever electrical pumps they have there for the cars, electric cars. You'll be seeing all over the place.
Yep.
Well, one suggestion is that your town supervisor, as his commercial says, he cuts his own grass, which seems to be so important why I should have voted for him. So maybe he can do the trimmings around those pumps and maybe maintain the lawn there and start Nate's tree and lawn service. Since the DNC didn't put a red cent into his campaign via Vice Chairman, woman abuser, Keith Ellison, and the whacked-out guy from Buffalo. What's his name? Perez?
Yeah. Yeah, Tom Perez.
No money, at all there. So, you know, and I think his campaign is in a little...
You could have put all the money in the world. If your campaign slogan is, I cut my own grass, I'm not sure how many
commercials
I want to see.
But surprisingly, I thought that the DNC would pour money...
Oh, they should have.
...into
they
that race. Because they could have just gone on an absolute attack against Collins and probably would have won it. It's like they didn't even bother to try.
Yep.
Which tells a lot about Nate McMurray as well. No offense, Nate, but...
The master stroke. I don't think anybody saw this, but Trump played the Democrats into making sure he wins again in 2020. You know how he did that? He suggested Nancy Pelosi to be the speaker. Mm-hmm. And just the thought, the average voter who don't vote Democrat, just the thought of Pelosi... just running the show again for the Democrats.
I tell you what, I think Trump has ulterior motives with that, and I don't think anyone's talking about this. I think everybody thinks that he's trying to promote Pelosi because she's going to be a disaster and it's going to bring out the Republican votes. I don't think that's the case. I think President Trump, even though he doesn't like the Democrats and doesn't like Pelosi, I think he respects her as a leader. And as somebody who can pull her constituency or her voters together, her Democrat colleagues together, and actually get something passed, I think that he views her as somebody that could possibly, he can find common ground with on certain things like infrastructure, that can deliver the Democrat votes to get a majority for him to pass legislation. Trump is all about getting things done. He's all about accomplishing things. I don't think he wants to, he's not that politically savvy to say, I'm going to support Pelosi because she's going to be a disaster, Republican Party's going to win. He doesn't care about the Republican Party winning. What Trump cares about is the country winning.
Yeah.
What Trump cares about is making progress on getting things done. That's what Trump has built his career upon.
Could be
and
right.
And that's really his mentality. Could no be, one's talking about that, but I truly believe that is the
could
case.
Could be right. And the obstacle to Trump has been the Republican
it's
Party.
Been, it's been Paul been Ryan. Republican Paul Party. Ryan yeah. has been unable to deliver yeah. the votes on anything.
No, that's
except
right.
for spending more money.
Except for spending except more money. Money. They have money. No problem pushing that through.
But when it came to Obamacare... Couldn't deliver yep. the votes on Obamacare. No.
How
couldn't
could,
deliver
how
the votes
could you
on the
not
wall.
Get the votes on Obamacare?
Couldn't do it.
Every
couldn't
single it. One of them ran on the platform of repealing Obamacare.
Couldn't
every
do
single
it.
One of them.
That's where Pelosi it does a. That's where Nancy Pelosi is a much better Speaker of the
there
House
is.
Than Paul Ryan.
Look at think about this. Mitt Romney, right? Is he any different than these Republicans that we lost in the House? None.
Right. Right.
And by the way, the Democrats that got in are more moderate. They're more middle of the road.
That's right.
They didn't
and they're
run
outsiders.
On, they didn't run on the Bernie Sanders campaign model. Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
But anyway, look, as we know, if Nick Mamori had got through, he would have changed his tune too and supported Pelosi. I mean,
of course he would have. Oh, by the way, Brian
he already
has
did.
Changed his tune, by the way.
Higgins yeah, Brian already
tune.
Did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Brian.
Because
Brian.
he knows he's probably going to win.
Yeah.
And he knows where his bread's going to be buttered.
That's right.
Right. But again, I mean,
and shame on him, by the way, shame on him.
Well, he's got no morals or scruples. No. He's got no look. When you don't, when you just change your opinion based on the way the wind blows,
yeah.
that means you have no core convictions and you are a person of very little substance. And I think that describes Brian Higgins to a T.
I'm here to support the middle class and the poor, and we've been
sure
building up a park on the waterfront.
Unreal. Anyway,
now, I don't believe in fracking, but we'll take the Golisano. We'll take the money from the Pagula
yep.
family,
and then I'll take credit for it.
And take credit for
That's
it.
Right.
Oh no, yeah. Oh, either that, or I think that Hillary left a nutcracker with Nancy Pelosi, or maybe that's why.
Well, it could be, but I do truly think that. I think that Trump views Pelosi as somebody that can deliver votes to where if they can find common ground, it's somebody that he can work with that will allow him to
could be.
At least accomplish something. He may not accomplish tax cuts, but he might accomplish,
yeah,
you know,
infrastructure
and maybe building. With infrastructure comes part of a wall.
With a,
who knows?
With a record amount of money record amount of tax money being brought in and certainly no cuts anywhere else,
yep.
we should have the best roads in the world, right?
Absolutely, paved with gold, but
yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Anyway,
thanks for the call,
Kevin. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Take care, buddy. Have a good weekend. All right, we'll take a very short break, folks. If you do need us throughout the week, again, you know, we're kind of bouncing all over the place here on a Thanksgiving weekend, but we do manage money for a living. Lots of volatility in the market. Next year, they're talking about a slowdown economically to maybe 2-2.5%. Most of the pundits don't expect a recession, but of course, most of the pundits are usually wrong. So.
I was going to say, I sent you an article the other day. I'm like, the economists are predicting this. I'm like,
yeah,
they don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right? They don't even know the color of the house, I think is what you said, which is true.
Their own house.
Their
they
own
don't
house.
Even know the
yeah,
color
their own house.
They don't
yeah.
even know the color
yeah.
of their own house tomorrow, right?
So,
and that's something you could probably predict, right? Like, nobody's going to paint it tonight.
That's
nah,
right.
Not if you're an economist. You wake up, it's different.
It's different. So here's the thing. You know, we can't predict the future. We can't predict the stock market. We can't control either the future or the market or the economy for that matter. But what we can control is how we structure a portfolio to weather all storms. And, you know, we've got a lot of experience, many, many, many years of doing this. And we take your entire picture into account. We can look at, you know, we have different experts in different areas, whether it be, you know, chartered financial analysts, certified financial planners, certified Social Security claiming strategists, college planners, estate planners, and so much more. Use us as a resource, folks. If you are nervous or you'd like to put together a plan. You know, lots of our folks come in and they've done a really good job of accumulating things over time. You know, they've got this old 401k, they got this other investment over here that they did, but they really haven't put it together into a cohesive plan. And when you do that and all the different parts of your portfolio start working together, it makes life a lot easier, I think, and a lot easier to stomach the volatility because you know what your plan is. So 633-1515, if you can use us as a resource. If you think like us again, 633-1515.
The other division, AJ Witkowski, leading our millennial division. So if you're you're a young professional out there looking to set up a plan, call AJ, 633-1515. And Medicare, I can't stress this enough, only a few days left. If you're unsure of your plan, use our independent reps as a resource, 633-1515.
All right, very short break. If you want to text us again, 3930 or 803-0930, and *930 is a call for the phone line. We'll have a few minutes when we come back. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, welcome back. Last segment here, 7 minutes or so of the Financial Guys radio program. If you need us throughout the week, folks, 633-1515. Obviously, the markets have been very volatile. You know, a couple of things that you can do to take advantage of the volatility. If you're still working, maximize those 401k, 403b contributions.
Increase them.
Yes, absolutely.
Somebody said, "Oh, these bull markets, it's got to come to an end." I'm like, "Yeah, well, so do bear markets, right?"
Right.
And don't forget that. I mean, yes, bull markets can come. They come to an end, but so do bear markets. And you got to make sure that, by the way, when those bear markets end, you've taken advantage of it.
The other thing you can do is rebalance your portfolio. You know, make sure that your portfolio is rebalancing on a regular basis. Most of the investments out there in the world will allow this for as an automated feature, right? You can just check a box that says, "Please rebalance me every 6 months."
Yeah.
You know, we prefer to do a little more strategically with a lot of our portfolios, so we try to take advantage of not to time things, but if markets move a certain percentage of one way or the other, you know, it might trigger us an opportunity to rebalance. And, you know, we're going to probably do it at least every 6 months. But those are just a few things that you can do. The other thing you can do is, you know, you can make lemonades when you have lemons, right? And so right now, we're coming up on year end. You know, don't sell things that you want to own long term, but do sell things that will give you a tax loss that may not be coming back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you. I'm not a big fan of certain companies out there. I'm not going to name them, but there are certain companies that we have sold off years ago, and I just simply wouldn't own right now, right? If you're down in that stock, don't wait for it to come back. Like, that's not the way to make money in the long term. The way to make money is to trim your losers and take losses when you can and try to concentrate, and diversify a portfolio with winners.
Think about over time, you have 10 positions and three of them are down, seven are up. If you can take losses on those three to help offset the seven, that's how you can really maximize what you keep. Astor Gleas talks about it all the time. It's not what you make that it's important. It's what you keep.
And if you do like those companies, buy them back in 31 days,
right?
It doesn't say you can't buy them back. Just don't buy them back in 30 because you get hit with a wash sale rule. But buy them back, later if you want to. But, as you come up to year end, there are certain things that you need to be aware of. Number one is if you're over 70.5, take your RMDs. Lots of people miss that.
But
they get penalized for it.
Take them out of the right spot.
That's right.
I cannot, we talk about bucketizing or putting your money in the right baskets. It is imperative when you turn 70.5 that you have structured your investments or you have multiple places to pull from. Do not pull from the basket that's down. You need to sell more shares to get the same dollar amount, and you can cannibalize your portfolio. So really important. I cannot tell you, probably the most strategic, important time in the investment world is that harvesting phase when you're harvesting money. You don't get a do-over. You're 80 years old. You can't go back to work, right?
That's right.
The last phase, by the way, is passing money on to the next generation you're not here for.
Right.
And the first phase, and Mike Havlicek used to say this all the time, jokingly, he'd say, some people became dumbly rich.
Yep.
And we'd say, what do you mean by that? Well, dumbly rich meaning, they just were throwing money into their 401k plan, didn't even know what they were in, but they accumulated wealth because if it was down, they bought more shares, and if it was up, they were better off, right?
That's right.
So because they were putting in more money, it wasn't as important to be as diversified sometimes,
right?
You could take advantage of it.
You can make mistakes.
You can make mistakes. Yep. You've got the power of time, and you can make mistakes because you were pumping in money. You don't get that when you turn 70.5. You get one chance to do it.
Here's another pro tip is that you don't have to take IRA distributions from every single IRA account that you own, right?
Yep.
So you just have to figure out what you need to take out, and then as Mike is suggesting, strategically take it out of the right buckets.
That's right.
And they may change from year to year.
And
we
do that a lot,
that.
By the way. People retire, and we will divide up their full, we'll roll their 401k plan into an IRA account and divide it up into two IRAs or three IRAs because we run different models. One might be a little more conservative. One might be a little more growth oriented. We can pull out of whatever basket is up.
Right. And the other thing, as you mentioned, the bucketizing money helps a lot of our clients sleep at night because they know that the money they're drawing is not affected as much by the fluctuation of the stock market.
Absolutely.
So it helps to smooth out the ride and certainly helps to alleviate the pressure of having to liquidate more shares to make those contributions.
Yep.
All right, if you need us throughout the week, folks, if we can help you with any of that stuff, you have questions on that, or if that just sounded like Greek to you, then please use us as a resource and call the office, 633-1515. We have like 20 investment professionals there that can help you in all different aspects of financial planning. Again, 633-1515, 633-1515. So getting back to the coldest Thanksgiving on record, Al Gore, I don't know if you saw this, he's out there now saying that he's talking directly to God.
Well,
so
yeah.
God is telling him.
That would be a good person to talk to.
But God, this is directly.
He probably should have talked to him 20 years ago when he came out of that book that said we would all be underwater.
Right, by this point.
Well, yeah, like
we
10
only
years
had 5
ago.
Years.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's talking to the right God, but if a conservative came out and said, God told me to do
that's
this.
That's right.
They would call him a heretic, or they would lock him in a rubber room.
Right?
Yeah. Like, here's these. You're going to talk to these white coated gentlemen here. They're going to give you these shots and some pills,
but
and you're going to take them.
If,
and you're not going to know what day of the week
if
it is.
If Gore or the Clinton family got a direct link to God,
right,
then that's okay. That's totally
right.
Acceptable.
So this somebody put this out there on Twitter, and we reposted it. But it gives you a good idea of just how clueless these climatologists supposedly are. This is from Newsweek. April 28th of 1975 by a Bureau report by Peter Gwynne. It says climatologists are pessimistic that, well, first of all, it starts off with the cooling world is the title. Mm. Climatologists are pessimistic that political leaders will take any positive action to compensate for the climate change or even to allay its effects. They concede that some of the more spectacular solutions proposed, such as melting the Arctic ice cap by covering it with black soot or diverting Arctic rivers.
That's what they wanted to do in the 70s.
Wow.
In the
70s,
yeah.
They
wanted to melt the ice cap.
That's right, because it was cooling too fast. And so the thought was, we got to stop the cooling by melting the polar ice cap.
Because they actually did believe and said that we would be under a sheet of ice.
That's
the whole world would be a sheet of ice at this
crazy.
Point.
Yeah. So think about that. At least back then, they said, but scientists see few signs of government leaders and they're worried about unintended consequences. Well, at least now, no problem.
Somebody stepped up and said, let's think about this.
Now at Yale and Harvard, they're talking about a plan to potentially block out the sun for stop global warming, which is non-existent.
That's right.
And Al Gore's talking to God. Yes,
Yale and Harvard now want to block out the sun. So think about that.
Craziness.
Like a big pair of sunglasses.
Lunacy.
A tarp.
All right, that's lunacy. That's going to do it for us, folks. Listen,
I'll tell you what, if it's a tarp, we got a lot of room in Solar City downtown.
That's true.
If you're going to build the tarp to block the whole sun.
That's the place to build it.
Well, that is the place to
go.
Build it. We have to fold it up a bunch.
That's right. That might work. All right. If you need us throughout the week, folks, again, if you think like us, 633-1515. On behalf of Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy shopping out there. We're the Financial Guys. We'll see you next week.
Be safe.
Be safe.